All right, everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to the show Life's a Banquet, the show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible.
Starring your hosts, me, Brendan Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about ostriches, wine, and dough.
I'm drunk.
Always. Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, banquet.
Oh, I have a really good Subway story.
Tell it. Oh, wait, let's tell people what we're doing.
Oh, my gosh. Welcome to episode number 2 of Life's a Banquet podcast, a show about the highs and lows of everything edible, spreadable, and pourable. Zara.
Breton. Scott.
And you're my co-host, Zara.
Correct.
Tangora.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and
We were arranged married. Kind of in podcasting.
And I,
Joe,
am
Blow.
Your Joe Blow nightmare. I'm your co-host, Breton Scott.
Hey, girl. Can you tell me what happened on the subway now?
Let's get back to this. We're going to tell you some really, really good stories later. But first, I have to tell you a story that happened after the opera. We were exiting the opera. We went to go see Il Trovatore. As we walked up to the 72nd Street stop, which I thought would be quicker, we headed downtown. Upon arrival on the train, there was a homeless woman.
Okay.
No, I'm being very serious now. She was, well, okay, I actually don't know that she, how presumptuous.
Right.
I don't know if she was homeless, but she had a giant orange Target grocery cart.
Right.
Long stringy hair, and she was reading a paper real intently. Real, okay. Just like,
well, reading a paper at night is the first sign that something's wrong.
At 11:30 p.m. on a Monday.
Right.
On the 2-3 train going downtown express. It actually went local, bitches. Ugh. Somebody bumps in her cart and her grocery cart, and she's like, what the fuck, you fucker, fucking shit, fuck, get the fuck away from my fucking cart, right? And I sit down, I'm like, oh my God, this is gonna be a good one. So anyway, so the next stop over, we were going local, as I said, so I think we're at 66 or whatever, and this guy gets on, and he was another homeless person drinking a 40-ounce can of beer.
A 40-ounce, yes.
Yes, I don't really know what those are, but I've heard that 40, people...
A 22-ounce? Usually if it's in a can, it's like a 22.
Yeah, it's like a 22-ounce tall boy.
A big-ass can of beer.
And I didn't know the brand of the beer, but the bag was halfway down, and it was very colored. It was Polish or something.
Wow.
And he bumps into her cart, and the door's closed,
uh-oh.
And she's like, get the fuck away from my fucking cart! Get the fuck away! And he's like, oh, fuck, you don't even fucking know who you're fucking with. You're fucking with the fucking best.
Your face.
And he goes, listen, not my fucking mother with a broken leg, not my sister, not my neighbor. And then listen for it. He goes, not even my fucking concubine. We'll fuck you over. And I was... I start cracking up because I go, my concubine. I go, that's so out of...
So not, classy.
I was like, so unexpected. I go, bravo. So he freaks out, obviously. I'm going to cut the story short. We get to 42nd Street and he's like, I'm going to fucking... You better get off this fucking train. I'm going to throw your fucking carriage fucking out the fucking train and it'll be in the fucking garbage, you bitch.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I was like...
Lord have mercy.
I'm... laughing hysterically, and everybody else on this train was scared. And then I thought, at one point, I thought he locked eyes with me and saw me laughing.
Uh-oh.
And I quit. I was like, oh.
I started crying instead. I'm very troubled by this.
That reminds me of that wonderful joke I heard at that Jerry Seinfeld show. Oh, I watched it, yes. Okay.
Did you watch the Jerry Seinfeld stand-up?
The
recent
first,
one?
The first 20... You get on the subway, you get in the... And I now I'm always like, wait, did I get in that Uber? Or wait, did I get...
He mentioned the classic thing about Long Island being like, you are on Long Island, like I'm on the island instead of in Long Island, which is the true. Also, something about Long Island, where I am from, for anyone who doesn't know me, represent Suffolk County. Anyway, I met someone recently from Guam.
Oh, yes. One of my, yes.
You know someone from Guam as well?
I've
okay.
I've encountered
you've encountered a
Guamanese.
Human from, a Guamanese
yes,
person.
Yes, many Guamanese people.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. For all y'all from Guam listening to this podcast, what up? But being from Long Island, I didn't realize this was a Long Island thing. But when I said this to this woman from Guam, she was like, oh, that's a Long Island thing. I grew up thinking that Guam was the furthest away place ever. Like, I don't know if they said this in Wisconsin, but, you know, it'd be like
going to Timbuktu.
Oh, like where like if you took a long time coming back from the bathroom, it'd be like, where were you, Guam? You know, like
oh my God, that's so funny because we would say, my mom would say, where'd you go at Timbuktu?
Oh, really?
But in movies, they used to call Sheboygan and be like, where are you from? Like Sheboygan.
Oh, really?
The mythical land of, yeah, it was used a lot.
That's so interesting. But so was Guam in growing up in Wisconsin, was Guam like very far away for you guys?
Well, I don't remember using it as a colloquialism.
Okay.
As a colloquialism.
That's a very good vocab word. Guam was like mad far for us. And then so when I met her the other day, I was like, oh my God, you're from Guam?
Guam?
People live in Guam? Like, I just thought it was like a rainforest or something.
We have our own national anthem. What do you mean?
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm from Guam. What's the problem? She's like, oh, are you from Long Island? I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, my ex-boyfriend was from Long Island, and all of you people are like intolerant of
she
Guam.
She knew about it?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that is actually incredible.
She used to date my cousin, Patrick, actually.
Well, how about that?
She's like, your family is fucking against Guam. I was like, no, we love Guam. No. We just don't know where it is.
Oh, speaking of Long Island, you had mentioned something, not to get off the topic, but
no,
since
I
we're sort of a
feed it to death
food, beverage, lifestyle podcast, I wanted to ask you, you said, oh, I want to make some Manhattan clam chowder. And I said, oh, I preferred New England clam chowder. Yeah. And then Preston says, was it Preston that asked? Yeah, Luke. Or what happens if you mix them? And you said you get Long Island chowder.
Yeah, it's delicious. For any of you who don't know about it, Long Island chowder is the red and the white in
the
same bowl.
Best of both worlds.
It's delicious. It's really good. We have to go, sometime when we go out to Long Island, go to like a shitty seafood place and get some Long Island clam chowder.
That sounds absolutely delicious.
It's great. It's hard like at home, right? Like if you're going to make, I don't know, two clam chowders just so you can mix them together. It seems like something is better to get out. You can make it at home, but
just, what if you just dump? All right, here's what you're going to do.
We did it at Brucey once.
We just double the batch and then mix them, put the rest of the quarts in the freezer.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and then have it for a delicious meal later.
I mean, that's fair. I guess I don't really have a home kitchen right now, so the thought of making two pots of clam chowder is like very overwhelming. I'm like, well, first I have to find a place to cook the clam chowder.
Okay, first of all, I don't want excuses. There are plugs outside and you can now use an induction burner and you could also, it's winter, so you could store your leftovers outside. Yeah, you could store your leftovers outside because of the cool weather.
Fine, I'll do it right now. Anyway, guys, Bretton's going to take it from here. I'm off to boil up two pots of chowder.
Yep.
Peace, see you later.
You know what? If you wait till the very end of the night, Whole Foods throws all of their clams out in the trash, into the dumpster.
Oh my God.
And you can get a load for free, girl.
We had a guy who lived upstairs when we were at Brucey, and he was a really great guy. He was really sweet. He'd always come down and bring us like food that he made, and he was just like really like a generally good human. I don't know. Things he made.
Was it good?
Well, let me tell you, he was a dumpster diver at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, I see where you're getting.
So he would come, and he was a dumpster diver at Trader Joe's, and he would come up and look at my apartment. It's amazing. It's full of all this stuff. They just throw the stuff out. But he was like a hoarder. So you open.
Where's that accent from? For those of us that aren't.
That's kind of. He was from Staten Island.
Oh, wait. This sounds like your other character. No, I know where this.
So
I knew it.
He was like, "Look at all this stuff I have in here," and you just open his fridge, and it was just jam. Packed of food, not even arranged. It was just like as though someone took a bunch of like a, you know, huge pile of food and shoved it. Like there's a banana and like a turkey leg and like 10 quarts of milk and there's like yogurt that's like spilling out everywhere. And he was so sweet.
I love
sweet.
It because you just have to have the
He'd
turkey
be like,
leg.
They're just throwing them out. I got I-rib steaks. 10 of them. I'm like, but do you need 10 I-rib steaks? I mean, what the hell are you going to do with all this stuff?
I don't know. I'm kind of like, because.
I thought that was really
first
cute.
Of all, I have to say, you hit my little budget part of me. I was like, wait a second. What time is that? So wait,
he's
he
like,
goes.
Throwing out these raspberries.
So
there's only
on,
one raspberry that's not good in the whole box. And it's like one very funky raspberry. But I mean, I guess.
Well, you know what they say, one bad raspberry. If I heard it once, I heard it a million times. One bad raspberry just makes everything just fall apart. Completely.
One bad raspberry spoils the bunch.
Speaking of raspberries, I would like to say it should be pronounced raspberries. I just want everybody to know, because I think a lot of you don't...
Raspberries?
Yes, don't even Google it, but...
Is that how it's pronounced?
I hope that everybody knows that raspberries are spelled with a P, so if
Isn't the P silent?
Oh, well, not if it correct, not with correct pronunciation and diction. It is raspberries.
Raspberries?
Berries, yeah.
Driscoll raspberries.
That reminded me of the two fat ladies, the cooking show.
Oh, yeah. They were
She'd be like, oh, what's raspberries?
They're so cute, those fat ladies. I hope that they lost a little weight.
Yes, they have a turn.
And that they, you know, are living out the rest of their lives.
Well, one of them died.
Uh-oh.
They're history. You should, well, save it for a different time.
Yeah, we should do an episode of Two Fat Ladies.
I love
that. That would be great.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We're talking about it. So I think, actually, I'm going to show you something in my kitchen. This is where we're going to
lay it on me.
Segue. You always say that, Kelly Rowland. It's the remix. I knew it. Listen, I'm going to take you to the kitchen because I'm going to show you something.
Ooh. Ooh. Breton. Well, what the hell? Are you going to Joe Blow me in there?
Like I said, Joe Blow is different to everybody. So, okay. So we're just going to pause.
Here we
this.
Go.
All right, so we barely made it into the kitchen, and I have a surprise for Zara. So I wasn't really sure. I don't know what I'm doing in my life ever, which is very true, but I try. And I decided that I wanted something interesting to talk about this week, something that piqued my interest. And I thought about it as I was going to have a cocktail. Now, for those of you that don't know me, I'm in a very brief... month away from drinking. I'm going to pause because Zara's using the restroom because she's using the restroom. Okay. I want to talk to you about this, what I have in front of me.
Yes.
Do you know what this is?
It looks like a bundt cake pan, mm-hmm. a loaf pan full of frozen water.
Well, it's actually correctly called, it's a double hydrogen bond linked to an oxygen known as H2O.
Ooh.
Yes. In layman's terms... layman's terms for all of you listeners.
There's a lot of laymen out there, I bet.
It's called water.
Oh.
That's right, darling.
Hello.
Have you heard of water? It comes in three types of states.
What kind of states?
Fluid states. Yes, uh-huh. Very, very Tao Te Ching. Ice, solid states, which is ice.
Okay.
And that's what we're talking about today.
Never heard of it.
And there's a third one. I can't remember. I think it's like... Okay, so check this out. I was thinking this week... about things that piqued my interest, and I thought, well, that's very interesting. I was just telling the audience before you got back from the restroom that I'm not drinking.
You
for
told
a long
them time. I was on the John.
She was doing a Joe Blow in the back room.
I was Joe
so
blowing.
Joe Blow was a back room. I pull out the pan of things from the freezer. So I pulled out the freezer, and I thought, since I'm not drinking for a month, I had lots of cocktails the last. I don't know, it's several years.
Yeah, the past
five
years.
So I just thought I'd take a small little break. And anyway, it was very upsetting. And do you remember last year when I got obsessed, you walked into the kitchen?
With ice, yeah.
So I got obsessed because first of all, I got the silicone ice trays. All right, if you haven't guessed it, we're talking about ice, okay? I gave it away.
The show's about ice. Yeah. It's about ice. The show's ice, about ice. Ice. Hey. It's about ice. It's about ice.
Ice, baby, come on.
Ding, 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 ding. And theirs is like, bow, 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 bow.
Do you know that rap?
Which one, the Vanilla Ice?
Yeah, yeah.
Not by heart.
It's crazy.
Do you know it by heart?
Well, I looked up the lyrics because I was thinking about ice. I was joking.
You were thinking all about ice.
And it's very violent. It talks about, oh my God. Oh, God, it talks about going down the streets of Florida with guns and getting shot, and then he survives, and he's like...
Vanilla Ice?
Vanilla Ice, it was very violent, and I thought of me as, like, a teeny bopper running around, being like, da-da-da-da-da-da, doing, like, the Running Man, right?
Yeah. The Roger Rabbit.
The Roger Rabbit, and...
That's a dance that I still do sometimes. Anyway, we're going to talk about ice today.
Can you hold on 1 second while I sear this?
I'm busy.
Oh, oh my God, I knew it.
Oh my God.
I forgot to tell you. So I took out a long time ago.
You're amazing. I can't deal with you. You're too good.
Zara couldn't do a catering event. So Zara passed it on to me. It was for a speaker company, which we won't say the name of because we don't want to plug them for free. But the catering was fabulous. And you did a raclette thing.
Raclette, yeah.
And so since we obviously we're homegrown caterers, and Jenny and Zara thought, you know, they're like, oh, just bring a torch, because they did it at a different party. And so I got the torch. I was like, you know what?
I don't know
that.
This story. Did something happen bad with the torch?
No, I'm telling you how I ended up getting a kitchen torch.
Oh, got it.
And so I thought, well, for 20, I think it was like $24 on Amazon.
Yeah.
You can never own torch. I'm like, yeah, I'll probably use it once and never
use
it again.
It's such a good thing to have.
It's
a torch is a great kitchen tool.
It's the giant one. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So anyway, I finished my nachos with it.
Oh, that's fun. It's a really good kitchen tool.
If you have taper candles, it's such a quicker way to put it in, because, you know, they never fit into those brass things.
Oh, I thought you meant like to light your candles with, like.
Oh, I do that also. And lighting incense, because I have very specific types of incense. But what I'm doing here is I'm releasing the ice from the
I love a kitchen torch. Vessel. Because sometimes, like, I don't know.
Oh my God. Okay.
Sometimes you don't want to put things under the broiler because, I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, Breton is just torched the ice.
And guess what? It popped out perfectly. Popped out perfectly.
Yeah. Popped out.
Popped out perfectly.
Popped out.
So I have this block of ice. Now, here's what I learned. Several things about ice.
You have like a brick of ice now.
Let's
pretty
go.
Cool.
We're going to go to, and now juicy bits and tender moments with Breton Scott and Zara Tenagora. Let's talk about ice in your cocktail and what it does and what it means.
Ooh.
Okay? So do you guys remember, and girls and everybody else, that probably more than a decade ago, people would just use that really flimsy kind of ice. And then if you've noticed, if you have some really nice cocktail bars in your neighborhood or where you live, you'll notice everybody switched those cubes.
King cubes.
Yeah, what are they called, Zara?
King cubes.
So, Zara, tell us a little bit about what ice does.
Well, I mean, ice in a cocktail, like, just, you know, waters down your drink, yeah. But essentially.
Waters it down.
It just, like, dilutes the drink.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
Intentionally. And obviously,
and the kind of ice you have dilutes at a different rate.
I guess I would say this is not an obvious thing, is that those really small pieces of ice dilute very, very quickly when you're shaking a cocktail.
Right.
When a bartender's shaking a cocktail.
Yeah.
When you're drinking it. And then the more surface area that of liquid, and as you know, alcohol tends to melt ice because mm-hmm. it brings the temperature of water down. Anyway, so that interacts. So that if you have a larger cube, you have less meltage.
Totally. And, you know,
And more booze. Uh-huh. Let's kind of brass tacks, girl.
And it looks cool.
Bigger ice means more fucked up. So there.
Can I get a double? I just think people also are very used to like cocktails looking a certain way now, and it's kind of very old school to have, you know, it's a classy cube.
Thing. And I will never forget the first time I went over to have like an ice shard.
Yeah.
And my drink was at what's the place?
You
below?
Mean
Little Branch.
Where's that?
Little Branch over
one of the first cocktail places. Yeah.
It was Sasha Petarsky, right? Yeah. It was the first place, and my friend Sonny took me down, and I ordered a Negroni with an ice trunk?
An
11-inch shard just like sticking out of it.
That's sexy.
No, it wasn't 11
That's
inch
real
inch.
Fun. Good ice.
It was a solid 9 with a 3-inch girth.
Good ice. Good ice is just, it's good. And like, you know, I also like tiny ice, like little ice pellets. I don't know. It's just a part of cocktail culture now, which.
Exactly. So I.
We can't go back from.
And you can go, there's my ice pick. Now, everybody knows the ice pick reference, right? And if you don't, I'm going to ask you to right now pause this podcast. You're probably driving, so pull out your iPhone and watch some video. It's okay. The other drivers won't mind. Or perhaps you're at the gym. Well, guess what? Just stretch your hamstrings, right? And pull up YouTube and Google Basic Instinct Sharon Stone ice pick scene.
Love.
Well, we don't know if it was Sharon Stone.
Love.
Sorry. Oh my God, I almost gave away the movie.
Fucking spoiler, man. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Basic Instinct, then you're a loser.
Okay, first of all, let's just say that Paul Verhoeven is a fabulous director. Or Verhoeven, however you want to correct
it. It's pronounced Raspberry.
Paul Verhoeven is Dutch. So has a great scene, and she stabs the guy she's having sex with. She's sitting on top of him, and she goes and she reaches in between the what is it called? The mattress. And she takes the ice and she goes right as she's about to orgasm. And she's like,
oh my God. Oh! Oh, he's really stabbing.
Oh my God. So anyway.
That was thrilling. Truly.
Oh, honestly, I just released 15 hours of stress.
I just Joe blowed in my pants.
And not only that, if I were drinking right now, which oh my God. I don't really have, I never think about it anymore. It's
yeah,
so weird.
It's totally easy to not drink.
I would take a big glass of gin.
Here's don't look at the liquor cabinet.
I'd take a big glass of gin and I'd get out one of my finest crystal glasses. I think that Carnival glass, I love it. It's like orange and really, really iridescent.
Beautiful.
And I would take this chunk. Sorry, this one. See it?
Oh, look how this is a perfect yeah. chunk.
And I would throw that chunk in there and I would take my glass. Oh my God. Zara's lick. Zara.
What?
Stop licking the... That's my ice chunk for my imaginary gin cocktail. All right. So I want to tell everybody one other thing about...
It doesn't taste like freezer at all.
So when you freeze a chunk of ice, if you're going to do it for a party, do it the night before because it takes a very long time.
Yeah,
you can put it in a... I put mine in a bread pan, like a loaf pan. You could put it in a flat plastic Rubbermaid or Tupperware, whatever. Mm-hmm. A Gladware, whatever you want to call it. Gladware. We'll sponsor you. Sponsor us. What? I love Gladware. I use it all the time. And Tupperware, too.
Put it in something from the Container Store.
So anyway, that's that. And
that's awesome.
You put it overnight, and then the next day you take out your... But you remember a couple times I was drunk, and I was...
Is there anything people shouldn't put it in?
Well, don't give it to children.
Don't put it in glass.
Don't put it in glass. Put it... I put mine on a sheet pan.
Yeah.
On top of a wood... cutting board.
I also think it when you used to do them in the quart containers, that's a good idea too.
Oh yeah, that's right. Anyway, what you can do is also you can leave it out for a good 10 to 15 minutes, and what that does is it tempers the ice, because if you take it right out of the freezer, it can shatter much more. You have much more control as the ice sort of tempers, as they call it. You would also do that with ice cream.
Ice has a temper.
Ice has a temper, and you need to stab it and stab it and stab it.
Oh, my God.
So
you get an ice pick, and you get an ice pick, and you get an ice pick. Sorry.
You can also take a flat sheet of ice, and then you can score it with little... I have this other tool. See this one? And you can score it. It's like a... It looks like an ancient...
It's a pokey.
Yeah.
It's pokey.
It's a Victorian.
It's torture.
Quintuple nipple snatcher.
It's a back scratcher for the devil.
Basically, you stick it in and it draws 5 points. It's a super acupuncture thing. Anyway, so you can do that, and then you can score it, and then you take a knife, and you take the knife, a large chef's knife, and you go and you take it and you crack down on it, and you can create chunks of ice.
That's like, so cool.
Yeah, that's how they do. So anyway.
That's an easy way to like make a party fun and classy without spending a ton of money.
Right? Because I don't want to go down to the deli and spend up to $2.50 for a 2.5 pound bag of ice.
I know. And like, where does that ice even like, I don't know. I always get sketched up.
Also, not all of it. A lot of people aren't fortunate enough to live right next to a deli.
Yeah.
Unless
bodega,
you live.
As we like to say here in New York.
I know, a deli. I'm so
a deli.
If you put in a deli.
I mean, getting the deli ice.
I'm not even from the West Coast, but I certainly sound like
we
it.
We always called it a deli in Long Island, and you would go to the deli and get like a deli iced tea and a deli sandwich and like deli this and that.
You've said that before. Okay, so listen. Now, I want to tell you a story.
Please.
We just take ice for granted, right?
Yeah, we really do. That's true.
You go to some tropical country. And, oh, there you go. Order your whatever. Can I have extra ice on the side? You know?
Yeah.
Well, listen.
Okay. I'm listening.
Oh, sorry.
I'm listening.
It looked like you were looking at...
No. You look like I fell asleep standing up with my eyes open.
It looked like you were looking for Joe Blow or something.
No, I'm listening. I'm...
But your eyes were trailing off.
I'm very, very excited to see where this is going.
Well...
Are you going to tell us your story about ice?
Ice wasn't always this way.
Okay.
Now... Everybody might think, oh, well, that's just obvious. Like, of course, like it was just obvious. Yeah, it was obvious. Good one.
Sorry.
That was really good.
Thanks.
It's obvious. I mean, just think about it. You just go to the freezer, pull out your like silicone ice mold, and voila, you have like a perfect 1-inch cube. Yeah. No, it was not that simple.
Okay.
Before refrigeration, which really only until the 1940s is when they say there was about 5 million units in the United States. So that's not a lot considering that in 1940,
5 million units how?
Like I'm sorry, of freezers.
Okay, that makes sense.
Sorry, refrigerators.
I was like,
freezers.
They were going around counting the ice cubes. I was very
confused. What I meant was electric. You're right. Let me go back. Electronic.
Oh.
You know, plug in freezers,
yeah.
Refrigerators.
Wow, in the 40s. That's crazy.
Yeah, in the 40s.
That's crazy.
People had them.
Yeah.
There was refrigeration when electricity was happening in the 1920s, 30s. But, you know, World War I. So there was definitely, I'm sure, movie theaters and bars had that. Anyway, before that, guess ice was not used. And there was a man in Boston.
Okay.
Man in Boston, and his name was Frederick Tudor. Okay, I think he, I believe he was born in 1784.
Wow. You have a good memory.
1786. Sorry, I don't have my notes in front of me because I'm busy chopping ice. So he decided at around age 13 that he needed to tell the world about ice.
Okay.
Now, he lived in Massachusetts, where, as you know, has a very...
The ice capital of the Northeast.
As everybody knows, the ice capital of the world. No, and he really was called... He ended up naming himself or becoming named the Ice King.
Oh, wow.
So this guy, Frederick Tudor, so at I think he was around 23 years old. Wow. And fast forward a couple of years, he could... His family was wealthy.
Okay.
He could have gone to Harvard. His brother, his older brother, ended up becoming a very prominent writer in Boston. And this is right turn of the century, around 1800, you know, right around 1800.
Okay.
Young guy, skips school. I don't know what he does in between. I couldn't find that information. He decides he wants to sell ice because of the delicious memories he has of Massachusetts. And he's like, oh no, people will want ice in the summer months too.
Yeah.
And so he started saving the ice. And I don't exactly know then how he cut it. I'm assuming a giant saw, and he would save the ice and decided that he wanted to send it to Martinique right around the year 1806. So,
because people in Martinique didn't have any ice,
thought,
obviously.
Oh my gosh, that's where probably rum is coming from. This is the, you know, right? It's
wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah, and so apparently he gets enough money together. And like I said, his family had money. So that wasn't a huge problem, apparently.
Yeah.
And he ships, I don't know, something like 80 tons of ice down to Martinique. And it arrives, and
By ship, obviously?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, but of everything by ship.
Okay.
He bought a ship, apparently, for $5,000. His first ship. And I don't know what that is in today's dollars, but I would say it's like a fleet of maybe like 8 Penske trucks.
Wow.
I don't know. Something like that. I don't, that's what, a
fleet
of
Penske trucks.
The 18-wheelers, yes, I didn't mean that. And anyway, so... After that, he sells some of the ice, but not all of it sold off. He does it again. Things aren't looking too good. He starts to lose money.
Okay.
So now it's around, he goes to debtor's prison.
Oh, God. Thank debtors, God they don't have that anymore.
Sorry, both you and I would be in debtor's prison.
He locked up for good.
He went 2 or 3 times.
Oh, my God.
2 or 3 times. They didn't say exactly how much, but oh, my God. So, yeah, and he...
That's awful.
Exactly. So
it gives me the heebie-jeebies to think about.
They said even when he was out of prison, he was running around. The sheriff was always trying to hunt him down because he owed so many people money. But he's like, no, I will sell ice. And here's the problem. Let me backtrack just a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Is that people didn't drink. People didn't use ice. This wasn't a normal thing. Now,
yeah.
Apparently, there had been some research that in Italy and in France near the Alps, the very, very wealthy would have ice houses in like the 1600s, and they would save ice for very cold beverages. Anyway,
so I guess there are really no cocktails as we know them. I guess when did cocktail culture even start? I guess that's a...
Well, yeah, later. And I mean, people, don't get me wrong, people were drinking and people were drinking. Bartenders were making cocktails.
But just without ice.
Well, so that's why he started to... So after this is like 1810, 1813, now like another 5 years passes. I don't know what he does. It's like 1819. He ends up in South Carolina, right? The guy's in South Carolina, and he's convincing people, oh my gosh, you have to have ice. This is still this guy. We're going
on
like...
He's obsessed.
He's obsessed. Like 13 years later, he's like, no, really.
No,
you gotta have ice.
You don't know.
You don't know.
It's all about ice.
Delicious.
It's all there is. It's cold.
So
it's,
he starts
it's wet.
Selling.
It
apparently, he was known for coming down in this boarding house, and he would carry a little thermos or cooler of ice and put it in beverages and taunt it to people. Be like, well, my iced tea is nice and cold. How's yours? Like, my lemonade is just fresh as can be. And you know what? They probably didn't have lemons because, well, they did have lemons.
Still,
there weren't too many lemons around, but more sweet tea.
Right. Lots of sweet tea.
So then apparently things are happening for him. He gets out and he's like, I'm going to show bartenders. I'm going to go up to the bartenders and be like, you need this for your cocktail. This is delicious in the summer.
We don't need nothing like that.
Yeah.
But I got cocktails home. women.
No, really.
Sorry.
Really, try it. It's delicious. So he starts selling some ice to Savannah, New Orleans, people in Havana. And of course, these are all still tourist destinations and people are going there.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, he's still, now he's shipping ice, right? So fast forward, some people are starting to take on to it. Exactly. This story is getting real boring. Zara just yawned at me.
I'm just really tired. Mm-hmm. The story is fascinating. I want to hear way more.
Okay. So then.
No, I'm just kidding. It's really good.
Now, hold on a second.
Wait,
there's more.
No, I want to hear more.
In 1826, his need for ice is growing, and he meets a man named Nathaniel Wyeth. And now this
gentleman. Wyeth, W-Y-T-H-E?
Yeah, did I mispronounce?
No, not at all. I was just wondering. I was wondering if it's like Wyeth, like, you know, all the things, like Wyeth Avenue.
W-Y-E-T-H is how I found this.
Right, so maybe Wyeth, that's it. Yeah.
But they could have reversed it upon.
Well, you know, like there's Wyeth Avenue down here.
Now he's harvesting ice, and he has all this land up in Massachusetts that his family still has. So he's getting ice from there and shipping it down. And this guy is like, hey, listen, you could double your production, triple your production. He invents a way to cut the giant sheets of ice with a horse and plow, or saw,
whoa,
rather, horse and saw. And not only that, but he has a conveyor belt system that he uses to bring these giant things of ice up into loading docks, into storage units, and they call them ice houses. Wasn't there a beer called Ice House?
Awesome. There's a bar called the Ice House in Red Hook, which is super fun.
We'll have to go there to celebrate.
We should.
Happens. And so he starts getting more ice. And apparently part of the danger was that these men were cutting ice. And they actually had...
There is an ice house.
They had a
too,
thing called
right.
Ice Man's Knees. Oh, God.
What's an ice man knee?
I got the worst case of Ice Man's Knees.
What happens then?
Bloody knees from ice banging into your knees.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Okay, so listen, 1833, he takes a risk. He ships to Calcutta, India.
What?
Yes, that's right. And apparently they really like it. And I don't want to bore you with the details.
No, tell me. I want to know.
He started making millions of dollars.
Oh, my God.
And he ends up losing some of it because...
How could the ice not melt on the ship on the way over, to Calcutta?
He had insulation systems. They were thinking of everything.
It was... Yeah.
He started to get into coffee, which did not do that well. And then he got into...
And then he got into ice coffee?
No, and then he was like, oh, I can ship some fruits because all the ice, which the ship will stay cold.
Smart.
He's diversifying. However, he realizes that he's losing money. Some of the fruit, the tropical fruit, wasn't being stored properly. It didn't have chemicals back then, so would rot. It took about a month to get to the United States.
Oh, wow. He's like, I lost this entire ship full of finger limes.
My Buddha's hand is awful. I would never buy this kid. Who's doing this? Next day, ship it back, and I want the count. Yeah, exactly. So listen. So then, where am I? 1833. So now he's got this guy.
Fruit.
He's thinking, let's focus back on this ice thing. This is going to be huge, and it is getting big. And don't get me wrong, other countries are catching on.
Okay.
Scandinavia, Norway, and Finland, which has ice all the time.
Yeah, they're like, just reach out your window and
exactly.
Look, the
and
ice
so
is
they're
free.
Shipping it, and there was some competition.
Okay.
And I guess around 1847, now that we're dealing with about 52,000 tons of ice, and even
oh my God,
he's making and shipping. Henry David Thoreau wrote in one of his journals. Well, he's going on his journey in Walden Pond, right?
Okay.
He's, he's hibernating and living and writing in his journal. And he writes, oh, look, they're cutting up the ice and bringing it by and shipping it to the city. And
oh, wow. He's had a firsthand account.
He watched the ice being shipped. He's like...
That's really interesting.
Writing these,
That's amazing.
Reliance. Okay. So then, things sort of go on and there's a lot of competition. And I think he ends up dying around 1850. And at this point, oh, by the way, sorry. I wanted to tell you that he ended up meeting a wife.
Okay.
He ended up meeting a young gal at around, he was 50 years old.
Wait, so when he was 50, mm-hmm, he met
was 50
finally
and
got
had
away?
Six children.
Anyway,
I thought
good
this
for
was
him.
Really fascinating. So anyway, so ice is, now everybody.
What happened with his wife, though?
I don't know. I forgot.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't matter. She's not a part of the picture. Let's talk about the business, the money, the capitalism.
The glory.
Yes.
The fame and the fortune and the
now,
ice.
Now, the whole time, let me tell you something. This is the moral of the story, is that nobody before him wanted even to use ice in their cocktails. So not only, he wasn't just like, oh, I'm just like a really good sales guy.
Yeah.
He convinced people single head that they needed to have ice. They needed something that they didn't even know that they needed.
What if we don't need ice and we're just like idiots because this one guy was like, no, you need ice. And like everyone's like, you're right, we do need ice. But what if ice is bullshit and we are better off with warm drinks?
Funny thing you should ask because I have an answer for that. And I thought about it. I knew you were going to ask
You did?
Well, I was talking to my friend Steve who lives in Taiwan. And he said, oh my gosh, he said the Taiwanese and I think a lot of Chinese also think that ice is the reason we have so many problems.
Really?
Physical problems, cancer, mental problems, because ice is not good for us. And I was coughing the other day when I was FaceTiming him. And he said, oh my gosh, stop drinking anything with ice and no ice cream and only drink hot water. And because they think ice is ruining
us. I do know that. Actually, I have a friend who's an acupuncturist who used to feel similarly. And she would even go so far as to be like drinking things that are cooling, like mint tea. And then I was like, you do like tons of cocaine. How can you be like hollering at me about ice and mint tea? You're a hypocrite.
I love a New York. I love her.
I know. It's like, you really want to like adjust like how much mint tea and like ice you're having? Can you pass the Molly over there?
Sorry.
Pass the Molly with your left
hand? I'll do one more bump. Oh, is that your thumb or your key? Awesome.
But no ice. Oh, ice is, of course, all wrong.
I went to a Buddhist party once when I first moved to New York, the New York Buddhist Society, and everybody was doing blow.
Really?
You're the head of it. The head of it, the guy.
Buddha himself.
The direct connection to Buddha was doing a bunch of fucking blow.
Yeah. I mean, it gets you open.
0 to 16, half a second, you get right to Buddha.
So what happened with this guy, though?
Well, he ended up dying, and I can't really tell you.
How did he die? Froze to death?
You know what? I couldn't find any information of how he died.
Really?
I need to find that out, actually.
Yeah, find it out.
Well, I didn't want to end this. I didn't want to have there be an ending to it.
Just leave it open-ended.
He passed gently in his sleep, surrounded by his two favorite kittens.
In a fire.
And all of his children invested all the money wisely, and all the family got along great.
All worked out.
And they live now in the ice palace.
I thought you meant when you were saying that the people in Taiwan think that ice is the root of all our problems, I thought you meant like more like worldly problems, not like physical problems. They're like, well, there would be no famine or war if not for evil ice.
It was the evil. Ice King. It was Frederick Tudor himself.
Frederick Tudor, the Ice King. Ah.
Yeah, so he was called the Ice King. And since then, you know, time passed and inventions were made. And that actually, that led to how air conditioning was started.
Really?
They would put ice in these things and run fans through it.
And it would blow? So interesting.
Yeah. So and then refrigeration was happening.
It's amazing.
And then people got ice boxes and that was a huge thing.
Yeah.
And then it all faded away. And then now we just have it.
Oh
my God. Like, why is this ice? I hate your ice machine.
Okay. Can I say something? Yesterday I was at someone's house and I was looking for some ice to put over some oysters that I had gotten. And
I just got an ice crusher, by the way.
Fabulous. So next time that's amazing. I go into the freezer. There's four different ice cube trays and they all are empty. And
whoever you are,
of a true psychopath.
It's like 10 self-slashes.
There's no excuse for an empty ice tray in the freezer. Why?
I'll be right back. Just a quick
fill final. It up. What? Who does something like that?
Half of Americans.
It's so irritating. We could have a whole episode about how much that irritates me. It's so rude and lazy. Unacceptable.
Okay. Maybe we should. What if we assume the best? Maybe they had that party the night before and got too drunk.
I'm sorry. I do like giving people the benefit of the doubt, which we were just talking about. But no, not with this. There's no reason. It's pure evil. Also, the second thing this reminded me of, have you seen the movie Batman and Robin when Arnold Schwarzenegger is Mr. Freeze?
No.
He's like, it's going to be a cold day, Batman. And he just like the whole. We should watch it right now. There's like a montage of all the scenes. He's just like gives all these like stupid puns. He's like, it's going to be a cold day. Are you ready for a freeze, Batman?
Oh my gosh. It's I really want to watch that.
Today's weather forecast, freezing.
He does
ice.
Not say that.
I swear, you have to watch right now. Just Google Mr. Freeze like montage. It's like, freezing ice, cold, a cold winter, freezing ice.
The Iceman cometh, I'm afraid.
Oh my god, you're oh. Wow, I really believed him.
You're not sending me to the cooler.
This movie is amazing, and if you guys get a chance to run, don't walk, to your nearest Blockbuster and rent it.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll load that up on our Amazon Prime right away, yeah, Zara.
Put it on your Netflix queue.
Or just watch, or just re-listen to that little scene, or watch it on YouTube.
Freezing winter cold, eyes in ya, frozen freeze, cold, freezing and lunches.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, that was a great story. I loved it.
So that is basically, and this all,
that's funny.
And I forgot to tell you why, as up with my limp wrists sliding all over the place on a slippery slope of ice, is the reason I thought of ice, well, for, yeah, because of the obvious reason I knew that my drinking career was coming to a sudden iceberg.
My drinking career
has hit an iceberg. is that I was in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
YouTube. They have
a lot of ice there?
No, I was shopping. It was really good, but I was shopping at an estate sale and I found an ice crusher.
Nice.
It was kind of like early 70s when it was electronic and it's very
cool.
Fast and spindles and it has a coarse and a fine dial. But so I bought that. It's mm-hmm. like $3 or something. And I thought, you know what? This is just really nice to have. And then it got me thinking about ice. And so here we are.
Got you to thinking about the ice. Yep. When I was I was in Kingston, like visiting friends,
mm-hmm.
and they do this really cool like boat ride down the Hudson. Mm-hmm. It's quick. It's like 2 hours total. If anyone's ever upstate New York in the Hudson River area, I recommend it. But they tell an interesting story about Henry Hudson and the ice trade going down the Hudson River.
Oh, I'm,
and how all the ice from upstate New York came from there down the Hudson River into New York City. But that was must have been later on after the masses were convinced they needed ice.
Yeah, also
we take it for granted, though. It was interesting. I forget what I was watching.
Isn't it crazy to think that this was actual the ice that was back then was simply water from a pond or a stream or a lake,
yeah,
or a river. So there was no filtration, and there really didn't. Well, I wouldn't say that there needed to be, but the water was a lot purer back then.
Yeah,
especially in the springs of Massachusetts.
Yeah, oh, delicious. Yes. Poland Springs. My friend Zoe Kazan wrote this play, and I just went to go see it a couple weeks ago. Actually, a couple months ago.
I don't know with a name like that.
Zoe Kazan. Anyway, she wrote this amazing play called After the Blast, and there's a scene in it, and they're talking about like water, and they're like, it's like a dystopian future where everyone kind of like lives underground and the earth's been kind of like, you know, it's awful. Like mm-hmm. everything's gone to shit and everyone lives underground. But there's a scene and the characters are talking about like, remember water? And people used to just like, you know, wash their hair with it, and they used to shower with it, and they used to spray their lawns with it because there was like a water shortage in this play.
Of course.
And just thinking about ice now, like, it's just so funny. Like, you know, I could imagine in a dystopian future people being, they used to skate on it, they used to put vegetables in it and use it as a garnish. Like,
there is a way to chemically make ice, which they had tried,
yeah,
and it just wasn't very successful, but it could be done. It can be done.
I guess if water someday.
So after
then
that,
be no
after
ice.
That drought turns into ice.
Yeah.
How come nobody in the drought talked about ice? That's interesting.
Huh.
Maybe they did, and I just wasn't talking to them. Zara, you have a funny story about ice.
What is that? Oh yeah. So I used to being from Long Island. You know, I have nothing. I'm pure class.
Yeah. I was like, where are you going with this?
Everyone from Long Island loves ice luges. It's the best way to celebrate any kind of party. If you don't know what an ice luge is, you just...
That is a Long Island thing.
If you don't know what an ice luge is, you are a loser. Just kidding. If you don't know what an ice luge is, call up your nearest beer distributor or ice person and get one immediately for your next party or just for your home. They melt pretty quickly, though. So an ice luge is basically a giant brick of ice that has like a tunnel dug down it that mm-hmm. you pour liquor down and then you put your mouth at the other end and get like an icy cold shot. I'm a firm believer that an ice luge is a surefire way to have an awesome party. Not just because everyone gets drunk, because it's just like a fun thing like to do. It will like make any party more fun.
Well, the first time that I saw your ice luge, Zara had a party in the summer. I remember you shucking oysters. Mm-hmm. It was like one of your first employee parties.
Yeah, it was in the backyard of Brucey. You bought 10 pounds of Taleggio.
Oh my God, that was so weird. I used to go to the East Village cheese shop and
you bought 10 pounds of Taleggio.
It was like on super sale, like $1.99 a pound. Down. I was like, I'll take 5 pounds. It's only like,
so hot out. It was blazing hot.
So hot. It was so crazy. Anyway, I bought a half wheel. Anyway, it was a little bit overripe too, but who cares? It was the presentation made up.
Yeah,
for it.
It was fabulous.
And I walked in and there was this ice sculpture sitting on some type of table. And then I was like, I said, what is that? He said, it's a penis ice luge.
It was a big penis ice luge.
So you had to fill the liquor from the top, which would be the beginning of the shaft.
The balls.
Was it the balls?
I don't know.
Well, it was the balls, but yeah. Exactly.
It was up top. It was a penis. Top. I forgot about that.
And then you had to consume the shot from the very...
From the tip. That was a really fun ice luge. And then...
And it was a shot of Fernet that I did first.
Oh, fun. We became really famous for our Valentine's Days at Brucey after we did a Beyonce Valentine's Day that went viral.
Yesterday...
It's a whole nother
Yesterday
episode.
Was Valentine's Day if you're listening to this podcast.
Closing of Brucey.
Tear closing.
Everybody pour a little out. But so we always used to do these like fucking crazy parties and... There'd be so many people in the restaurant like that we'd have to get a tent for the outside, like a heated tent for people to like wait in.
Circus tent.
It was crazy. So we always had an ice luge for that. And then the year after Beyonce, we did a Kim Kardashian, Kanye West themed Valentine's Day, which was really fun. It wasn't as insane as Beyonce, but it was fun.
It was, yeah. It was
so
like,
we got a huge Kim Kardashian ice sculpture and you could take shots out of the ass and the nipples. It was awesome.
I know. I regret not being able.
It was so fun. And then, okay, so then the last year, I ordered some kind of crazy one. Oh, it was a tombstone because we did a funeral theme for the last night of Brucey 2 years ago on Valentine's Day.
That's right.
And I ordered this giant gravestone ice luge that was like really intricate. I spent like, I don't know, $500 on it or something.
For real?
Yeah. It was awesome. And then the guy broke it. On the way down the stairs.
Oh my God, that's like my cake story. He must have felt awful.
Because Brucey was like a couple stairs down. It fell off. It broke. So there's a broken giant ice tombstone. So the guy had an extra ice luge in the van for some reason. And it was like, congratulations, graduates, 2015. It was like very old, I guess. Because this was in February. And this was
a graduation. Like, but it's 2018.
No, it was like a graduation one from like the summer before. And he had it. And he's like, do you just want this one for free? And we're like, of course. It was even better that it was like a random ice luge.
Because it's totally like Brooklyn ironic.
Yeah. I was like, oh, isn't this so funny? Oh my God, like congratulations, graduates. Happy birthday, grandma.
Girls just wanna have fun. Oh wait, that's
So that's my ice, but the ice luge story is for me. But pro tip, seriously, if you're having a party, pony up $200 and get an ice luge.
Listen,
it's the most fun you can have with ice.
Well, not the only thing, but it is one of the major things that I do remember from meeting you and your party. And I thought, you're right. That does turn
a
present. Because if you get a random stranger coming to your party, be like, whose party are we going to? Be like, I don't know.
Everybody really bonds over it.
Some girl named Zara Tangara.
Right.
And then you go and there's a penis ice luge.
Yeah.
Or a vagina.
Or a vagina or a non-body part.
Yeah. It could be a foot.
Absolutely.
I would recommend a nose.
A nose would be awesome.
A very steep chin, like a Jay Leno chin.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So any one of those, give your local ice person a call, and they will custom make
fun.
That for you.
Yeah.
We don't have any recommendations because we are not doing free plugs just quite yet. But we will be soon.
If you are in the ice business and you want us to give you a shout out, you know we are just $1,000 away. Just kidding. I have to pee.
Okay.
Let's end. I'm going to pee. Guys, it was
really,
fun.
Really fun time.
It was fun.
I hope everybody gets an ice pick.
That was really fun. Oh, you know what? I want to say a shout out.
Yeah.
To where, like, places that we like this week.
Yes.
I'm shouting out Bedouin Tent.
Bedouin Tent is wonderful.
Delicious.
They don't have ice.
They have no ice, but they have homemade fresh pitas, delicious Middle Eastern food, and it's cheap. It's on Atlantic Avenue if you haven't been. Good, good, good,
they
good,
make
good,
some
good, 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 good,
gorgeous falafels.
Delicious.
And their Their pitas are made fresh to order right in the front. It's cash only.
It's so
tiny
good.
Tiny little place. And you said they have a very, very clean kitchen.
Super clean. I see they're super delicious.
They're absolutely wonderful.
And their lentil
nice
soup.
People.
If you go eat, get the lentil soup. It's so
I always
good.
Get the lamb pita.
Oh, yeah. That's what Peter Shelsky told me yesterday when I was in Shelsky's. Another great place that their merguez is really good.
Delicious.
What about
merguez.
You? What do you want to shout out?
Let's see. Where have I gone? Oh, my gosh. I went to Noodle Village. Surprise, surprise.
Yum. Noodle Village is the best.
I will own stock. I will own stock.
It's the best.
One day.
What's the best thing to get at Noodle Village, do you think?
Again, they don't have ice because they believe that. But I get the ginger scally noodles. Yeah. And if you don't want, and it's the thin lo mein noodles, like Hong Kong style.
Yeah.
There's no meat on it. They have that wonderful XO sauce. And then they also have, you can get the noodles with all the dumplings. The mixed dumplings.
I like that. Okay.
So that's it.
That's
I
where
hope
you
everybody
should go.
Had fun.
Guys, what a good show. Brett and I love you. And this was a really fun thing. I've been struggling this week with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, but go treat yourself and get yourself a penis ice luge, even if it's just you.
A penis ice luge and some ginger scallion noodles.
You flutter
and freeze and froze. Bye. All of our episodes are recorded right here at Studio 54 at the heart of Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Our rock star award-winning sound editor and producer is Christine Farrell. I'm Zara Tangora.
And I'm Bretton Scott. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.